Let us turn to John chapter 15, please. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in this wonderful portion of the Gospel of John, He refers to His Father as the husbandman. And He says that His Father is the one who is like a farmer of a ground. And He says, I am the true vine. And He then goes on to explain His relationship with His people. His Heavenly Father, who is by grace our Heavenly Father. If you have come to know Jesus Christ, you can call Him truly your Father in heaven. He has brought us into His family. And we have this familial relationship with Jesus Christ and His Father. But this expression that our Lord uses here, the vine, is a picture, a biblical image that is frequently used in the Bible of Jesus Christ. He is the vine, and Christians, true believers in Him, are the branches. This part of our series of messages on the Christian life and experience. Part of our experience as Christians is that we are attached to Jesus Christ as a branch is to the vine. He is the one who is nurturing us. He is the one who is causing us to become fruitful. We grow through the nurturing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bear spiritual fruit as a result of His Spirit's infusing us. This vine and branches concept is a wonderful, it's an ideal metaphor, picture for the Christian life. You think about a branch is nothing apart from the vine. So we can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. He says, without me, you can do nothing. A branch draws all of its strength, resources from the vine itself. From that stem, from that root of the plant. And we become strong by drawing from Christ His strength. You might say, but I am so weak. Well, I encourage you this morning to go to Jesus Christ, who is the vine. He's saying to you, come to me. I am the vine. And it's only from me that you can receive life, you can receive strength, not only for a short period of time, but forever, each day. And in this 15th chapter of John, Christ is the vine. The Father is the husbandman, the vine dresser. The Father, He prunes the fruit-bearing branches. Like a gardener does. Doesn't cut it all off, but prunes it. Removes anything that is wrong with the branch. So that the branch can grow better. To bear more fruit. Removing and pruning as well fruitless branches. So that the vine itself, the very plant itself, become fruitful and abound. The branches that abide in the vine, those who are truly in Jesus Christ, true believers, born again, they are the ones who are blessed. They are the ones who are truly happy. They grow, you see. They bear fruit. And the Father lovingly tends them. That's the experience of the Christian. And this tending of the Father might be at times quite painful for us. But remember, if you're a child of God, it's part of it. Part of abiding in Jesus Christ. At times, the husbandman, the vine dresser, comes with a little knife to just prune you. He's not trying to remove you, but prune you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He says to His disciples in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Whoever abides discovers that his soul is nourished with the truths of God as he stays in a close, living, energized relationship in Jesus Christ. You begin to grow. The natural result is spiritual fruit and maturity. This is the desire of the Father. He wants a mature branch. And I ask you this, are we growing in maturity? Maturity in character, in our life, day by day? Or are we just the same as how we were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Or are we maturing? Maturity doesn't come overnight. But if we are truly in the vine, in Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, we are growing, fruitful. Don't ever think that you can bear spiritual fruit alone. In nature, a branch can bear no fruit apart from its vine, apart from being attached to that vine, the stem, to the root. Even the strongest branches, cut off from the vine, if they are broken and the main line is broken, become more helpless than the weakest of the branches. And you've seen at times a great branch maybe struck down or partly still it is attached, but most of it is detached from the main trunk of the tree. It becomes dead. And soon it becomes so dry that a small wind can blow it down, and a little child can touch it, and it will fall down, break altogether. You see that normally. And similarly, spiritual fruit bearing is not a matter of being strong or weak. It's not a matter of being good or bad. It's not a matter of being brave or cowardly. It's not a matter of being clever or foolish, experienced or inexperienced, a new Christian or an old Christian. Whatever your gifts, whatever your accomplishments or virtues, they cannot produce fruit if you are detached from Jesus Christ. To bear genuine fruit, which is part of the Christian's experience, you must get as close to the true vine, our Lord Jesus Christ. You must get close to Him as you can. Desire Him more than ever before. Strip away all the things of the world, the things that hinders you. Put aside the sins that distract you and sap your energy and time, and everything that robs you of a deep, personal, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. They must be put aside. Stay in God's Word. Stay in Jesus Christ. And having done all that, don't worry then about fruit bearing. The branch doesn't worry about fruit bearing. It bears fruit because it is attached to the vine. It's not fruit bearing in itself is not your concern. The Lord Jesus Christ says your concern is to come unto Him and learn of Him. Come unto Him and cast all your cares upon Him, all your concerns upon Him. Come and follow Him. Be His true disciples. That should be our concern. The matter of fruit bearing is not something that the branch is looking to find some fruit maybe somewhere to attach this fruit on itself. The apple tree, for example, the branches are not just waving around and moving around to see if they can find an apple to attach to itself. No. The fruit comes from within. Naturally, it happens. Friends, it's the same spiritually. Get close to Jesus Christ. And His energy in you, His life in you, will produce fruit. Fruit is a frequent metaphor in Scripture. The main word for it is used approximately 100 times in the Old Testament and 70 times in the New Testament. It's mentioned often, yet also it's often misunderstood. Fruit is not outward success, friends. Fruit is not outward success. That's, many people are misunderstanding that. If I am outwardly successful, then I must be fruitful. Or there is this misconception to think that if a church or if a ministry in the church or any organization, if it is big, it is fruitful. But a church or any ministry, like a children's ministry too, or Bible study and prayer meeting, isn't successful just because it attracts a crowd. No. Or that lots of things are happening. No. The whole church could be spiritually dead while missionaries preaching just to a handful of people can be bearing fruit in the lives of those individuals. I read only this morning a little portion of the life of a great Methodist preacher. His name was Sangster. And he was an evangelical Methodist preacher after the Second World War. And he spoke about this, that how that denomination had many, many things. And the machinery was working. But he said, but I must confess that it seems to be that they have detached themselves from the vine, Jesus Christ. And the machinery is working, but he said, but I believe soon it will be just the shell of it. And so he wrote on the subject, and he wrote how ministers should be preaching and so on. So there's a series of books that he wrote about the right ministry of the Word of God. But lots of things can be happening. It's not, it does not mean that it is being fruitful or effective or glorifying to God. There could be this infectious enthusiasm or a winsome personality of a minister or a leader. It may produce some lively thing. People are attracted to this individual. It can produce lively celebration, full of happy people. But it has nothing to do with the spiritual fruit. God, friends, God produces real fruit in our lives when we abide in Jesus Christ. When we abide in Jesus Christ. What kind of fruit brings glory to God? What kind of fruit? In Philippians 1 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul, he says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. He talks about righteousness. The fruit of righteousness is the fruit God desires in our lives. Yet it is God who produces the fruit of righteousness within us so that He may be glorified. There are two basic kinds of fruit that I want us to think about this morning, very briefly. Two ways in which your life can be transformed and your life can make an impact on others and for the glory of God. First is the character fruit, and it's part of the Christian's experience. The character fruit, and secondly is the action fruit, I call it. The fruit of character in a person's life and the fruit of the action in a person's life. So first of all, the character fruit. The fruit of godly character is what the Lord is after. What does the world think? What does our society think about people? People who are successful. They think, well, if you are successful, if you are going to do well in this world, you must have certain gifts. You must have certain talents. Or maybe an individual will be successful if they are simply lucky. That's the term that they use. Just people find some pot of gold somewhere and they become successful. They by chance see something or experience something or receive something that changes their lives. That's what people think prospering is about. But what is God after? God is after a godly character. That's what God values. And this is something so important, my friends, that we must think about it carefully in ourselves. And also, if we raise children, grandchildren, others that are under our care, we have to think, am I wanting this child or this individual to grow in simply in gifts and knowledge? Or what about the character? You've seen, I'm sure, rich people who have no character at all. Nobody likes to be around them. And they do not glorify God. But the scripture talks often about our character, our attitude to life. Let us turn to Galatians 5 for this. Galatians 5 and verses 22 and 23 speaks about fruit. This is the kind of the fruit that you and I should be seeking, that you and I should be praying over, and we should be growing in. It says in Galatians 5 verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Those were all the traits of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the character. The character fruit of our Lord Jesus Christ. His attitude. And if those attitudes, the outlook, the personalities, are the characteristic of your life, the fruit of active good works will follow suit. So let's think about these words, just very, very briefly. What does it mean? What do these words mean? The fruit of the Spirit, beginning with love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The first character of a spiritual fruit is love. We are to love God with all our hearts, the scripture says. With all our hearts, soul, minds, and strength. And love our neighbors as ourselves. Loving God is the greatest of commandments. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He said at one point. And love is to be the outlook of life. The character of your life should be one of love. Even with your enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ, what did He say? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Oh, it's different to how the world is, the way people are. One person said to me very recently, he said, "Well, I'm not doing anything different to everyone else. Others are doing the same thing." But the Christian life is, we don't just take what the world gives us, we don't just accept what we see around us. No. This is not our home. And God has given us certain standards of behavior and ethics. Certain ways that He wants His people to be different. By this, they know that you are my disciples. Because what? Because you love one another. Love is to be our outlook of life. Which issues from what? From knowing the love of God in Jesus Christ. I ask you, do you know the love of God in Jesus Christ? Have you experienced His love to you in salvation? Then you are to grow in this love. Your character should be one of love. This is a fruit. Another one is joy. Joy. This is the deep down sense of well-being that comes from knowing all is well between you and God. That's the real reason for a person to be joyful. That all is well with me and my God, my Creator. It's not a result of favorable circumstances. It's not because things are going well for you and so you're happy and joyful. No. But it's the gift of God to believers, this joy. Joy is part of God's own nature and spirit that He manifests in His children. And while it is a gift to us, we're also commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. Always we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to graciously accept and also revel, rejoice in this supreme blessing we already possess. Joy. Is your life, the attitude of your life is one of joy? Not depending on your circumstances, but upon God. Another thing that we read here is peace. The fruit of peace, the character of peace. If joy is exhilarating from being right with God, then peace is the tranquility of mind that results from saving relationship. This tranquility, this peace in the soul. Like joy, peace is not based on circumstances. There are some people, their circumstances are just so difficult. Their life is a mess. Circumstances are totally opposite. The wind is always against them. But they have the peace of the Lord. I knew one lady in her 90s. And if you only listen to her, she lived in Bath. And if you only listen to her, you would think she was a queen. But then you listen to her life story. How she was treated as a child. How her foster carers treated her. And all the problems she had physically. Yet the Lord gave her that peace. And this was an amazing thing. She had nothing. She had no fridge. This is only until a few years ago. She had no fridge at all in the house. You think, well, how could a person in her 90s can live life like that? But she had the Lord. And she had the peace of the Lord. And she did things in old-fashioned ways. And so she could manage. But we couldn't manage without such things. But she could. And she was a joyful person. And a peaceful person. And what an effect. Only eternity will tell what such people, what kind of impact they have made upon the lives of so many. Certainly she had an impact upon my life and my wife's life. And I know others. You know what she did? Let me tell you one thing she used to do. She lived in Bath, in this house for many, many, many years. And she had nothing. But what she did was at the time when university students will come back to Bath, she would write to every one of the students on her street, welcoming them and saying if they needed anything, they could come and see her. And she would leave a tract, she would welcome them and say, you can come to church with me on Sunday. And people like Becky went to church because of such things. And she had such an influence on people. And her life was filled with peace of the Lord. Is this the characteristic of our life? Christians know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, the Scripture says. They know that the Lord is in control of our life. No matter what our circumstances may be from a human perspective, and that is why the Lord Jesus could say without qualification to those who trusted in Him, let not your heart be troubled. And the Lord didn't qualify it with other things because of Him. Let not your heart be troubled. There is no reason for a Christian to be afraid, He says, because you have Me. You are in the vine. You are in Me. And I will care for you. And you have next word, long-suffering. Long-suffering or patience. If you have patience, you're able to endure with tolerance and long-suffering the injuries inflicted by others. And you can accept irritating or painful situations with a calm willingness. Are you patient? Are you growing in being a long-suffering person? God Himself, my friends, is a slow. Slow in anger. But Thou, O Lord, the psalmist says in Psalm 86 verse 15, but Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And you know God who is long-suffering. He expects His children to be the same. It's important that we emulate the Lord's patience. You know what the apostle says in Colossians 3:12. He says we should put on something. There is a clothing that we should put on. There's a garment to put on. And he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness. And then he finishes it by saying, long-suffering. Long-suffering is to be put on. It's not a natural thing. It's to be put on. Especially with believers. With long-suffering. Oh, how you have to put on this long-suffering when you are interacting, when you are relating with each other. With long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's what we find in Ephesians 4 and verse 2. And it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to build relationships with people, to get to know people. You also need to be long-suffering with people. The fifth fruit here is gentleness. Gentleness. This is a tender concern for others. It has nothing to do with weakness or lack of conviction, but is the genuine desire to treat others gently, kindly, just as the Lord treats you. This is your experience. Doesn't the Lord treat you gently? And the Lord's desire for you is that your character would be one of gentleness. Paul reminds the Thessalonians that even though he was an apostle, he was gentle among them, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. He told and admonished Timothy not to strive or quarrel, but to be gentle unto all men. The fruit of gentleness. And then there is goodness. This refers to moral and spiritual excellence, characterized by sweetness and this active kindness. This goodness is sweetness, kindness. Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, in Galatians 6:10. To the Thessalonians he wrote, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. Goodness. Are we growing in this? Sweetness of character? This active kindness? Not just using words, kind words, but actively being kind? Not only to our family members, but to all our neighbors in a scriptural sense. And then there is faith or faithfulness that is mentioned there. Faith. This is what the Lord wants us to grow in. And this pertains to loyalty and trustworthiness. Faith. Or faithfulness. The Lord wants us to grow in faithfulness. To be more and more trustworthy in our character. That's what we should be aiming towards. And that's what we should instill to those around us. Jeremiah declared that the Lord, He is trustworthy and faithful. He says, the Lord's compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We too ought to be found faithful. The scripture says that a steward is to be found faithful. And so it is the same word that is used here, translated as faith. Then there is meekness. Meekness. The New Testament term for meekness is used to describe three attitudes. One is submissiveness to the will of God. Another one is teachableness. Meekness has to do with teachableness. And then another thing is consideration of others. In meekness, we are to forgive others. Although Jesus Christ was God and is God, He was meek and lowly in heart on earth. And like our Lord, we are to actively pursue meekness and gentleness and to wear them like a garment, as I said. Put on, the apostle says, meekness. Then there is temperance that is mentioned there. Temperance, which means self-control. Self-control, temperance. A believer who is exercising self-control retains his passions and appetites, or restrains it. In Christ's incarnation, when Jesus Christ was born, that's the epitome of self-control. He was never tempted or tricked into doing or saying anything that was not consistent with His Father's will and His own divine nature. And so, like our Lord Jesus Christ, we should add, as Peter says, add to our faith temperance or self-control. I ask you about these things, these nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit. Are they yours? Are they growing in you? Or are you not in control? You do not have self-control. Or regarding meekness, you are not. You see that there is immaturity in this. Or goodness, or faith, and so on. The Lord's desire is that as you are in Jesus Christ, you would grow in all of these things. These Christ-like characteristics come only from the Holy Spirit. He establishes and ripens them in us. Not sequentially, not one after the other. Saying, well, first he has to be loving and then the rest. No. But they're all together as part of our lives as we abide in Jesus Christ. This is the experience of Christians. Fruitful character, maturing and growing. And very, very quickly, I mentioned that the second thing I wanted to say is the action fruit. The action fruit. And our character, our attitudes, leads to the fruit of godly actions and offerings to God. It's Godward as well as manward. One of the things that it will result in thankful praise. When you gather for worship, when you are at home worshiping God, or in other circumstances, do you raise your voices to the Lord in thankful praise? You know, we read the apostle in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. He says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When we praise God and thank him for who he is and what he has done, you offer him fruit. Are you thankful in your praise? If someone gives you a gift, how you write them a card, how you appreciate things, and you tell them openly, clearly, that you are thankful, then what about our God? Then you, another thing that it results in action fruit is help to those in need. Help to those in need. The members in a church in Philippi, the Philippian church, they gave Paul a gift. And he told them that he was glad for their sakes that they had not. It says, because I desire a gift. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound to your account. He appreciated it. He appreciated this gift, and he says this is actually the fruit. It's not for the sake of the gift that he is thankful, but for the fruit of loving kindness in their lives that is represented. It's what it represented that he is thankful for. And in Romans 15 and verse 28, he says, when therefore I have promised this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. This gift is referred to as the fruit. You see, this help to those in need is part of this action fruit. We could talk about a fruit of purity in our conduct, holiness in our conduct. That's how we are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. We could talk about desiring the salvation of the lost. That's another fruit, action in our lives, that as we are growing in Jesus Christ and as we are living for Him, the Lord enables us to be faithful witnesses for Him. Friends, you will never win converts. You will never influence others for the Lord by simply doing this and that and the other, being actively involved in certain evangelistic efforts, if your life and the character of your life is not godly and right. If you are setting stumbling blocks before others, it will not have a lasting impact on people's lives. Oh, my friends, aim that your life, the fruit of your life, will not be wood, hay and stubble, but it would be gold and silver and precious stones that will last. Modern missions, and the pioneer of the modern mission was William Carey, who spent 35 years in India before he saw one convert. Imagine that. You would think that's a failure. You would say, for 35 years you have not even achieved much. You have only one convert. But you know, through the work that he achieved in translating of the Word of God, the sermons that he preached, that was sowing the seed, the character of his life, he was sowing the seed. And to this day, all who in India profess to be Christians, they owe him something. They owe William Carey something. And they are part of his treasures. Well, my friend, the part of the Christian experience in life is bearing fruit. These are not natural fruit. These are not things that come to us naturally, easy. No. The Christian life, the disciples said, it's impossible to live. And it is true. But if you are in the vine, and you are the branches of Jesus Christ, then He gives you the strength and the grace and the wisdom that you and I need. I encourage you, my friends, this morning. You might be feeling trodden down. You might be feeling very depressed and anxious. And you feel weak in yourself. The Lord knows about that. And He says to you, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. May the Lord bless each one of us and His word to our hearts. Amen.